Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, April the 16th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the fourth Sunday of Easter, and on the Tuesday of the week, let's take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in a very, very familiar spot, Psalm 23. I'm sure we've covered it before. We're going to cover it again. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend enough time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for his name's good sake. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. This is the word of God for us. All right, so stop me if you've heard it. I love the lectionary because in the Easter season, we have 7 full weeks of reflecting on what Easter represents and what it means and the ramifications of it. Easter is not just one day where we get all dressed up and, like, if you're in the South, you know, wear the seersucker, you know, and go to church and, you know, sing the Hallelujah chorus, hear about the resurrection, and then we kind of go on with the rest of life. But Easter is a season. It's 7 weeks long, and what's cool about it is that it goes longer than the season of Lent. Lent's a 6-week season, so the fasting is for 6 weeks, but the feasting is for 7 weeks, right? We probably already covered that within the last couple of weeks. But it's just worth remembering that when we look at lectionary texts, that they want to try to ground us in what life now looks like because of Easter Sunday. I was able to serve on staff at Advent Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And their founding pastor, Dave Schieber, one of his Easter traditions was they would sing the song "Every Day is Easter from Now On." And I just love that. Like, and maybe, you know, if you sing a song too much, like, maybe you kind of lose the spirit of it all. But, like, I just think it's a great lesson that Easter is like the sun that gives light. It shines light on everything else around it. Like, and so how do we honor the sun? We don't stare at it, even though it's, I guess, good acknowledging that it's there. But no, like, we appreciate the sunlight because it allows us to see everything else, right? It's kind of like salvation. Salvation is called the new birth, like, theologically. And you and I didn't ever remember experiencing birth, right? Like, even the most bright and perceptive among us probably doesn't have it stored in the memory bank the very moment. Can recall the very memory of being born. But being born allows us to experience everything else. I think salvation is the same thing. Salvation is the gateway to now experiencing everything else, not just in an original light, but in a new light, because it's a new birth that we now get to experience everything. So we go to Psalm 23, and Psalm 23 is at many people's funerals because it's a well-known psalm. And the English translation of Psalm 23 used to conclude that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? That's the way a lot of English Bibles parse this out. But you'll notice in the translation that I read, which is the Common English Version, I love some of the takes that they take in their translation. But let me read it again, because it might have been different than how you memorize it. But it says, yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll live in the Lord's house as long as I live, right? It's a different take. It's not so much talking about the far beyond, you know, after death, but it's something that's in the here and now. I think the reason that we hear it at funerals is because of that last line. Like, we are grieving the loss of a loved one, but we are comforted by this truth that they're in God's care. Now, we can get that in many other places and not just the English translation that some have for Psalm 23:6, right? You can get that in a place like Philippians chapter 1 and in other places where Jesus comforts his disciples in the upper room discourse in the Gospel of John, right? Like we can get that other ways. But to Psalm 23 is a song about everyday life. I mean, look at all the episodes where he can experience God, the psalmist says. Even though I walk through the darkest valley now, I fear no danger because you are with me now. Not just later, but you're with me now. Because your rod and your staff, they protect me now. And you set a table right in front of my enemies. On a hard day where I've got to face an enemy and I've got to hash it out with them, I'm not alone, but you're there with me. And you bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full it spills over. So in the high and the low of life, the psalmist is saying, it's keeping notes. Like, yeah, when I walked through that darkest valley, God was there. When I had to face an enemy and I was unsure how that appointment was going to go, you were with me. You were with me when I was celebrating an abundance in my life. Like the paycheck was bigger than I thought. The Christmas bonus way bigger than I thought, right? And more people showed up to the party than I expected. And what a fun time we had, right? And so this psalmist is not talking so much about anticipation about life beyond, but how God's abundant presence is with us in the here and now. I guess I've been a Christian now for 25 years, and maybe it's because I'm younger. I think a more interesting conversation to me is, where's God at? Is there a spirituality for today and not just after I die? And I think maybe when I get older and I get closer and closer to death, that it's like more imminent than it is now, maybe I'll be more concerned with what's it going to be like in, you know, the far beyond after death when I get closer to the end. But what's interesting for someone like me right now is, what does following Jesus look like today? What's at stake for having a relationship with God in the here and now, right? And I think that Psalm 23 is something that gives us inspiration for the here and now. So I was just reading along this textual line, like the discrepancy that we find in English translations in the original Hebrew of verse 6. And I was reading a book called Psalms for Normal People by Joshua James, who's a scholar of the Old Testament and particularly the Psalms. And he was talking about what's at stake in verse 6 of Psalm 23. And let me just read you a paragraph. I dog-eared the page, underlined, highlighted. He says this, "For J. Clinton McCann, all of this means that Psalm 23 might not be the best funeral text. The psalm isn't about dying. It's definitely not about where one goes after they die. This wasn't a relevant or open discussion for the psalmist, for the original author and the original audience. Their poem is about living. McCann claims it puts daily activities such as eating, drinking, and seeking security in a radically God-centered perspective. The message of Psalm 23, therefore, was not written to provide comfort about where the deceased are. Rather, it addresses how the rest of us should live every day. And all of God's people said, amen," right? That's why this is an inspiring text. It's because it's not just a normal Tuesday. Like the budget meeting Tuesday afternoon doesn't have to be boring. But if he walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death, if he's with me in a reconciliation meeting with my enemies, if he's there in a time of surplus and abundance, then perhaps he can show up when we're talking about debits and credits and pivot tables in a spreadsheet, right? Like he's everywhere. And I don't know about you, friend, but that sounds like good news to me. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we rejoice because you've made all things new. You're making us new. And Easter means that you're drawing all of creation out of the tomb along with Jesus. And there's a new start. Your new world is being launched into the midst of this present one. And we think that brings rescue. We think that brings life and vision for all things. So we think that you saw fit to include us in the story and to bring us into your family. And so as we think about what that means for us today, as we look at our calendars, look at the things we get to go do with work and with school and with friends, you know, different tasks that we've been assigned to do, we think that we could see it with brand new eyes because a new sun is on the horizon. And we thank you that victory will get the last word and not death and decay. And so God, this day we thank you that all of our common activities now are brimming with hope and with promise. The because of the resurrection of the dead. And so, God, we just pray that you'd empower us as your people. We're going to be dispatched to all these places, all these communities, and we can go on our own strength and power, or we can rely upon you. And so we pray that as we lean upon your power and strength, that you give us the wisdom to know what to do for the next faithful step, the next right move in our lives. And so I just pray that when we get to speak, or when we get to serve, that people would see the light of Christ within us, because we've been born again and we belong to a new kingdom. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.